This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Previously.
You were in the water?
Yes, this one was like the most intense that I had to witness. I was a meter off him. We were only both in the water surfing. And I was just like as close as I am to you, and he got absolutely destroyed by this bull shark.
Et là, il y avait le requin qui était juste devant moi. Alors des fois, je dis 3 mètres, je sais pas quelle
distance. The shark was right in front of me. I don't know what distance it was. I would say about 3 meters away. It was huge, just right in front of me, and I was hardly moving. One eye was looking at me, the mouth half open, but there I was with this fish I just had speared. You know, your life flashes past your eyes. When I saw this shark, it was 2 p.m. and there were lots of people on the beach. My friends, surfing schools, lifeguards, everyone was there in the water.
Les autorités n'ont pas du tout compris.
The authorities did not understand. Their reaction was the complete opposite of mine. How can I put this? Well, for us, we knew the sea. We had a white, sandy beach, clear water, blue sky and no wind. So for us, to have an attack in this spot, our world collapsed in front of us. We had social networks back then, but I didn't have a smartphone. So I called a friend who had a computer and I told him, post a message to our community online saying that we have caught the shark. The problem is over and we'll be down at the port in a half hour.
Hong Kong customs officials in May of 2020 happened to notice two very suspicious-looking shipping containers. So they opened one. Inside, they found the dried dorsal fins of 38,500 sharks, mostly from endangered species. That's a lot of sharks, but it's a drop in the bucket for the global trade in shark fins, which kills something like 70 million sharks a year. And of course, lots of other fisheries kill sharks too. The French fishing fleet alone has killed as many as 20,000 tons of shark in a single year. And the total annual human haul is on the order of 100 million sharks. We humans kill a lot of other predators too, for all kinds of reasons, like protecting livestock and protecting people. Wolves can eat a lot of cattle, and we can't have mountain lions in people's backyards. Nevada state law enforcement officials recently tracked a mountain lion through a Las Vegas subdivision and finally shot it dead in a tree. The U.S. federal government has an entire agency dedicated to this kind of work, Wildlife Services. They killed more than 1.5 million wild animals in 2021 alone. More than 300 gray wolves, 64,000 coyotes, 400 black bears, 200 mountain lions, 600 bobcats, 3,000 foxes, and 24,000 beavers. So that's kind of the mental framework Jean-François Nativelle was operating in after that shark bit off Eric Dargent's leg on the west coast of Reunion Island in February of 2011. And to be sure, Jean-François always knew there were dangerous sharks on Reunion's wild, rainy east coast, where all those muddy river mouths were. Everybody knew that. But that west coast, especially in the heart of the resort zone, had always been reasonably safe. I mean, two surfers had been killed just north of the resort zone in the 90s, and some poor guy within the resort zone got swept off a jetty by a 70-foot rogue wave. This was in 99. And he was then apparently pulled out to sea and devoured by sharks. But another way of looking at this stuff, common to very sensible people, including myself at times, worries that our human habit of killing every single animal that serves our business bottom line or bites somebody is going to leave us with no company on this planet except cockroaches and coyotes and maybe a few pigeons or crows, I suppose. But especially in the ocean. Global fish stocks are down by half since 1970. Shark populations down 70%. Snorkeling, I don't know, at least in my experience, has become kind of a fool's game, right? Where you fly to some gorgeous tropical coast and rent the mask and swim and see nothing down there but empty seawater. Plus, it turns out that the years leading up to the Reunion Island shark crisis, I'm talking about the early to mid-2000s, were exactly when global public opinion woke up to all this. Climate change, warming oceans, aquatic dead zones, and overfishing, industrial trawlers strip mining the seas. Even George W. Bush, Republican president of the United States at the time, different era, felt compelled to create a vast marine reserve in the Pacific in 2006. The French government created one right off Reunion's west coast in 2007. Save the coral reefs. A sea turtle sanctuary even got built there. Scuba boomed. And so, if you were an environmentally concerned, you know, global citizen living on that west coast of Reunion, and maybe not a surfer, but super into the ocean and nature, you probably loved knowing that in our sad and damaged world, at least your own little strip of coastal water was protected. Ocean wilderness, safe haven for God's aquatic creatures. And when a tragic shark bite got a couple of crazy surfers to go out and then kill a big, magnificent animal right there, well, maybe that felt like a rupture in the fabric of reality, a breaking of the world. I'm Dan DeWayne, and this is Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise, Episode 2, What We Talk About When We Talk About Killing Sharks.
We have had four attacks in places where and when we had regular fishing. So,
I'm sorry, you know, what do you want to drink?
That's Christoph Perry, the shark fisherman. I was sitting at an outdoor table in his front yard on a green mountainside above the ocean, and I have to admit it was a good time. I liked Christoph a lot.
Oh, I'll drink a beer. I would open a bottle of champagne.
No problem with champagne.
You're from California, actually?
Yeah, I'm from California.
That was a friend of Christoph's, also having a drink with us, a guy named David Guillaumard, ocean scientist, and also a major player in this story.
The problem is like, hey,
Chin Chin. Hey, cheers, you guys. Merci.
I got those guys to sit down with me because I wanted to hear about the scandal that erupted after Christoph and Jean-Francois killed that first bull shark and hauled it into Saint-Gilles Harbor in front of a crowd. Could we do this together? Could I ask you guys, could we tell the whole story? Would you guys just share
whole
with...
story.
Yeah.
Whole story.
So long.
Well, let's try. Yeah, how much time do I have?
So much detail.
The short version is that Christoph used a harbor crane to haul that dead shark out of the water onto the dock. He got out a big knife right in front of local TV cameras and sliced open the shark's stomach. Christoph's earlier hunch that Eric Darjean's leg would not be inside that stomach turned out to be right. And again, that really did not prove he'd gotten the wrong shark. The big bonito bait fish they'd put on the hook wasn't in there either. So that shark almost certainly puked while they were killing it. The way Christoph saw it, that didn't much matter. He'd killed a big bull shark right where a guy got bit at a popular family beach. So he didn't sweat the empty shark stomach. He just went ahead and butchered the shark to share meat with everyone on the dock.
But the journalists
were all very happy. I didn't know them back then. Now I know them a bit better. They were happy.
That was Jean-Francois, and he meant that journalists were happy because shark butchering made a nice, bloody spectacle. Good copy. Plus, they got free shark meat to eat. Win-win.
They
wanted a piece of shark, and we gave them. The journalist went away with a big chunk of shark. It's good. There's no bones in it. Fish and chips are made of sharks.
On va dire notre manque d'expérience à l'époque. On a ouvert le requin avec les tripes.
So we were inexperienced back in 2011. We opened it up its guts and blood in front of everyone. And this is a thing that we avoid doing now. We have to wash it so there is no blood left. Nice, clear, good chunk of fish. They like it. But they don't want to see blood. They don't want to see scales. They don't want to see the guts.
Et j'avais rigolé, j'avais dit, mais attends, un gars est entre la vie et la mort.
I had a friend who was there that night. He said to me, be careful, people don't like suffer. All often I said, come on, there's a guy who's dying here. We just pulled out a shark out of the water and he could be the one.
Et voilà, et c'est vrai qu'il avait dû percevoir, parce que moi j'étais peut-être pas au fait, que...
But maybe he noticed something that I didn't. That was surfers who are blonde, white guys. White guys are the ray, colonialists, etc. And it's true.
That word, Zoré, it's reunion shorthand for white French metropolitan newcomers down from the mainland. And surfing is very much associated with Zorés on Reunion. They're not the only ones who do it. But surfing did come to Reunion with Zorés in the 1960s. And traditional Creoles have long considered Zoré surfers crazy reckless on the shark issue.
Et c'est vrai que là, du coup, c'est
but that's why we got lynched in the day after that, because people were saying that it was an act of vengeance.
Ben, on considérait que c'était un acte de vengeance. Mais, comment
but given the context of the way it was presented, the press said the Zoré arrived and they went straight into the water right away without having listened to the advice of the elders. They would have said, don't go in the water, it's dangerous. The sea has a kind of blasphemous aspect. Jesus walked on top of water, not under the water. We don't go in the water, it's taboo.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and... 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Now, there's a lot packed into what Jean-François said there, like that Zoré thing, and a pretty standard rural critique of city types, happy to buy meat in the supermarket, but appalled by hunters. Most of all, though, at least in the press, was that core question, whether or not it was okay for them to have killed a shark at all. TV stations amplified this by running gory footage of the actual killing of the shark and of Christophe's butchering the shark meat.
The remains of this bulldog shark still has something to thrill the crowd of onlookers under their stunned eyes as a 3-meter-long squalus more than 200 kilos in its stomach. There is no evidence to suggest that this is the one that attacked a tourist from Marseille on Saturday night.
And?
A rare attack on this Indian Ocean island, but one that specialists know well. It is at sunset that these sharks start to hunt. Over the past 40 years, the Paradise Island has seen about 30 shark attacks, 17 of them fatal. And even though researchers have noted an increase in attacks in the world, 79 last year, they are due to the growing number of bathers in the sea. These figures should be put into perspective, as deaths are still rare. Each year, sharks cause 12 times fewer deaths than hippopotamuses and nearly 100 times fewer than bees.
A local newspaper ran a huge tabloid-style front-page photo of Jean-François grinning and holding the shiny, wet, bloody fin of that dead shark like a trophy. A TV station ran an online survey, should the shark have been killed? Multiple choice. Answer one, yes, it serves that shark right. Two, no, water is that shark's natural environment. The twos had it. 70% of Reunion Islanders agreed Jean-Francois and Christophe were wrong to have killed that shark. Bad people. And, unsurprisingly, the movie Jaws started coming up a lot in all kinds of news articles and opinion pieces.
All the imagery of Jaws had risen to the surface to tell the fishermen to take up arms, motivated by an instinct for revenge and the frightening rules of collective hysteria. The lynching, and yes, that's the correct word, of some deserving humans would not make me shed a tear, as much as the fishing of this unfortunate shark appalls me. The three weirdo nutjobs who think they are heroes from Jaws are ridiculous. A little caution on the part of humans who are strangers to the marine environment would avoid most of these accidents.
They believe they are in the film Jaws, where a single shark sows terror in the seaside area. It stupidly reassures the surfers.
One guy who became the media's go-to voice in defense of sharks. A local doctor named Fanch Landron, who was himself a surfer and super into sharks. Journalists quoted Landron accusing Jean-Francois of wanting to eradicate sharks and calling the whole shark fishing expedition ridiculous and pathetic. David Guillemard, Christophe's buddy, the guy shared some champagne with, watched all this in horror.
It was authorized. And the thing is that we must tell the whole story. And like a few days or a few weeks after Eric Dargent and then and Christophe and Jean-Francois have been like, received sort of a shitstorm on the internet.
Rumors even swirled that Jean-Francois and Christophe had killed that shark inside the most protected waters of the local marine reserve. That was a federal crime if it was true. Plus, commercial shark fishing was outright illegal on Reunion, and Christophe was a commercial fisherman. If he'd sold even a single ounce of that shark meat, he was in deep trouble. So the local public prosecutor, which is sort of like an American DA, opened an official investigation.
Yeah, but stupid.
And when did the gendarmerie, when did the police come for you?
Just a few days after.
Yeah, a few days after.
They came here?
No, they came on my boat.
At the harbor.
That's right. Police boarded Christophe's boat looking for evidence. They also dragged Jean-Francois and Christophe down to the station for questioning. And that's what really got David involved, because he was a fisheries scientist. David's first job on Reunion back in 96 was at a French government agency called IFREMER. That's an acronym. It translates into French Research Institute for Exploitation of the Sea. But it's like our NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And IFREMER is a big deal in the global study of the oceans. They even helped Robert Ballard find the Titanic. And it turns out that back in the 90s, when David first started working at IFREMER, Reunion Island as a whole, minus the West Coast resort zone, was going through an earlier spate of shark attacks, 11 fatalities in 10 years, mostly in the south and east. One of David's superiors even flew to Durban, South Africa, where there'd been tons of attacks in the 1950s, in order to study how they'd gotten the problem under control.
My boss went there. And when he came back, he told me, he gave me all the documents and said, yeah, you're in charge of writing down the report because, you know, he was the boss.
Yeah.
So I was young, I was like, oh yeah, cool, working on sharks and yeah. And so we had this report and the conclusion was, if you want to deal with shark attacks, if you want to take the example of Durban, you should try to avoid people going at sea. So, okay.
Sure, of course, nobody in the sea, no shark attacks.
But if they go at sea, you have to be aware of if there is an attack to be ready to take care about the injuries.
Okay.
And on the third and very last thing, you would maybe have an impact on the dangerous sharks. And so
that last bit about having an impact on dangerous sharks basically just meant keeping sharks away from swimmers and surfers by any means necessary. In South Africa, that often involved underwater shark nets meant to catch and kill sharks. But shark nets kill tons of other animals too, they really do. And IFREMER also concluded that shark nets probably wouldn't even work on Reunion because of the ultra-complicated nature of the ocean floor, with complex coral reefs and huge drop-offs into the deep sea. So instead of nets, Ephemer recommended drum lines, the aquatic equivalent of a steel bear trap, basically, or a wolf trap. A big baited hook anchored to the seafloor and kept afloat by a buoy or drum. Plant a few of these drum lines in the water off popular beaches, and when sharks drift too close to those beaches, they'll get hooked. Ephemer's final recommendation, and remember, this was the French government's research advice to its own agencies. In case a shark somehow got past these hypothetical drum lines and then bit somebody, was to, wait for it, boat out and try to kill that shark. Exactly what Christophe and Jean-François had done.
And so in 1997, this report was there, and it was just written in there. You should use drum lines, and you should, if there is an attack, go and try to fish the shark that could be there around. It was the what we call the theory of the rogue shark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no more really not fashionable now, yeah, but you know, at that time it was still.
Reunion authorities had done none of these things. They hadn't installed a single drum line. And after the Dargon attack, when Christophe and Jean-François did exactly what the French government's own report recommended, authorities and a lot of the press treated them like villains.
And so when Christophe and Jean-François has been attacked on the internet, and I've seen this in the media, and I knew Christophe because he's very good fishing on fads, tuna fishing and fads.
Really?
And I was working on fads at the fishing committee, so I knew him. We knew also together all-time parties before also. And he took me out of the water one day also when I was almost drowning when my leash broke. And so I have this report, so I told him, but I have this report that you could rely on to defend you and to say that, we are not doing rubbish.
I didn't know that.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No, no tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.
Jean-François also saw that Ephemer report, and in case you haven't noticed, he's a pretty combative character. He does not like getting pushed around, and he loves a good fight. So Jean-François posted that report on Facebook for everyone to see. But while that report was arguably vindicating for Jean-François and Christophe, it also raised an awkward new question. Why hadn't authorities put out drum lines? And why hadn't they killed sharks after attacks? And if that's what the best available research said the government should have been doing all along, shouldn't they start, like, right now? And you can imagine how these questions started pressing on the minds of surfers, like a Creole local I met, a guy named Mathieu Malela, a.k.a. Raton. That's short for raton laveur, or raccoon, because Malela always has a sunglasses tan. But the point is, for West Coast guys like Raton, surfing was central to life. And the Dargon attack was a downright freaky surprise.
So do you remember hearing about the attack?
Yeah, exactly. I remember what I did because I was in Saint-Gilles. It happened in Saint-Gilles. It happened on a spot that I know, that I surf all the time. My friends were in the water at the same time. some of them had like crazy stories because they saw Eric D'Argent. They said hello to him and said, we are going out of the water. And they said, yeah, I saw this guy. He was he stayed in the water with another one. And, you know, he could have been a friend of us. So we were really surprised by the fact that the attack happened. And we were like, what guy, who is it going to be? It's going to be a friend. We were like, we were like kind of, we thought that it would be a friend.
Yeah.
Because there was like a high chances that it would be a friend. And when we eventually, learned that, he was a tourist surfer, it was like one chance out of 10 or 50, you know, that it happens on a tourist. So we were like relieved, paradoxically, you know.
Yeah.
He was sad, but we were relieved because we didn't know this guy.
Yeah.
And so we were like, fuck, this is crazy. The first attack that happened in our realm, our kingdom, you know, the West, it's a tourist, you know. It's like incredible because there's not that much tourist, you know.
Yeah.
Surfers, there are some, but not that much. So we were like, fuck, how lucky we've been. But we didn't stay lucky for a long time.
Only 8 days after D'Argent got hit, at that very same beach, somebody on shore saw a shark out near surfers in the water and screamed until cops in a patrol car heard and turned on their siren and then used a megaphone to yell at everybody and order them out of the water. Newspapers covered the story.
The new appearance of a shark caused panic yesterday morning. The spot was evacuated and the beach deserted. The psychosis is setting in.
And a psychosis really did kind of set in. People started seeing sharks everywhere. Newspapers reported as many as 3 shark sightings in a single day. Authorities closed beaches and then reopened them without any perceptible rationale. Months passed like this. And then, June 15th, 2011, 31-year-old local Eddie Aubert goes for a late afternoon surf at a beach called Boucan Canot. Boucan Canot is really one of the most popular sort of hangout and party beaches on all over Union Island. It is crazy beautiful. White sand, clear blue water over awesome coral reef. It's also just backed by all these shade trees with outdoor cafes and bistros and snack bars. So it's an overall awesome hangout zone. Raton remembered Eddie from the water.
How do you remember him?
He's the iconic soul surfer. Yeah. Soul bodyboarder, but surfer.
Yeah.
A guy that would never enter a contest, that would just flee the crowds, though he would always go on a spot where there's only one or two guys out, even if the wave is not that good. This profile is a favorite of the sharks, because these guys tend to surf on their own and at sunset or sunrise.
Sometime around 4 p.m. on June 15th, Eddie was sharing a little peek in front of the Hotel St. Alexis with 2 other guys, taking turns on waves. I met Eddie Aubert's brother, Christophe, right at Boucan Canot, and I asked him about Eddie.
They said there weren't many waves that day. It was pretty calm. There were 3 of them in the water, and there was an experienced bodyboarder who was there with them. He took a wave to go back to the shore. It was 4:45. He was finishing on going back to the beach. So then they were just to left. It was his turn to take the wave. He said to the other guy, no, you go for it. You're a beginner. You can take this. It's a good wave. Go for it. And he was there all alone in the water.
Witnesses on shore saw Eddie scream for help and raise both hands. two sharks seem to be attacking at once. Here's Raton.
My friends, I wasn't a lifeguard at that time, but I knew all the lifeguard pool. So the guy had just finished work and they were about to leave and go back home. And they had to go back to the lifeguard post, open the door and take the bag and try to go and do the emergency business on him. I was directly in contact with a guy who took the body of Eddie Aubert out of the water. So this guy called me after that, and he was like in a total shock.
It was a real shock, a violent shock. I was at work. It's the police who called me first. They called me. They didn't call my father. They called me. I was a bit surprised. And they said there's been an accident with your brother. And I said, what happened? He's been attacked by a shark. Is he all right? I said, what's going on? Well, the ambulance took him away. Hang on, I'm just going to check. You know, no, it's not an ambulance, it's the undertakers who came. I said, what? Yeah, no, he's dead. Sorry.
A shark bit off Eddie's entire right arm, plus enormous chunks of flesh from Eddie's torso and leg. 4 days later, on June 19th, Jean-Francois, furious now, got himself onto a television news show for a moderated debate with Fañch Landron, that local MD and shark enthusiast who'd been quoted in the press calling Jean-Francois' shark fishing expedition pathetic.
Fañch Landron, you are a doctor in Saint-Lieu. Jean-Francois Nativel, you are a surfer. Good evening to both of you.
Pêcheur et surfeur. Bonsoir à tous les deux.
Now, I want to say up front that this was kind of weird for me to watch. As a surfer, Jean-Francois and Raton are just my kind of guys. But Landron sort of weirdly was too, in a very different way. He's a very refined, sort of outdoorsy, hyper-educated, I don't know, borderline elegant character.
So, the shark. It's been around for over 400 million years. It's absolutely essential to the ecosystem. Unfortunately, we don't know much about it in Réunion Island due to the lack of precise studies. In Australia and South Africa, these animals are almost cultural. They accept the shark in the water.
But Jean-Francois wasn't having it. Right there on TV, he held up a copy of that 1997 Ifremer report, making the case for killing sharks.
We recovered this study. From Ifremer, the first thing it said is that to study sharks, you have to hunt them, capture them, and bring them back to shore.
This study is from 1997, remember, already 14 years ago now. We have new technologies to study a shark without necessarily capturing and killing them. There are prevention systems that work well elsewhere. Safety nets, for example.
Let me clarify, because we are wasting a lot of time in this pointless debate. This study, even though it's 14 years old and funded by the states, indicates that nets are not suitable for La Réunion, they are not good for the environment, they are too expensive. But on the other hand, the one thing that it does recommend is to set up drum lines.
I have already said, and it has been said before, and we can say it again, that the number one best way to prevent shark attacks is to stay out of the water after heavy rains. All these attacks could have been avoided if the two or three most important conditions...
I have to respond because it's a false premise. I'm hearing things that offend me. If it is the surfers who are getting attacked, Monsieur Landron, it is because, who's on the front line? Surfers. We are the buffet, getting eaten.
I am from here. I'm a surfer.
Monsieur Landron est surfeur, je ne l'ai jamais croisé, ça fait 25 ans.
Oh, he's a surfer, huh? I never see him in the water. I've been surfing here for the past 25 years.
Well, I have never had the pleasure.
So that was the state of public debate. Jean-François, voice of the surfer, demanding the government kill sharks. Franche Landron, voice of nature, opposed. Don't you dare kill sharks. Total gridlock, going nowhere. And with actual government, weirdly silent. Until 3 weeks later, July 7th. Coming up next on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
A new shark attack on the west coast of Reunion Island, the third in 4 months. The teenager was attacked here in the early afternoon. The flag was red, the swell was strong, and the water was a bit murky.
I saw that all the fishermen were right at the water edge. Immediately, we thought it was a shark attack. On this side, in the water, and we did not think.
In the 1970s, John Todd burst onto the evangelical scene with a shocking tale. He claimed to be a former witch, involved in a then unheard of secret organization called the Illuminati, and urged Christians to prepare for a violent world takeover.
First of all, the number one weapon in everybody's home should be a 12-gauge pump shotgun.
Hear the amazing story of one of the originators of the modern-day conspiracy theory. From Magnificent Noise and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Cover Up, the Conspiracy Tapes.
Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise is a production of Hyper Object Industries, Little Everywhere, and Sony Music Entertainment. It's written, reported, and hosted by me, Dan Duane. Executive produced by Adam McKay, Claire Slaughter, Harry Nelson, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie. Produced and engineered by Joy Sanford, Mike Richter, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie, with help from Zaylee Mahone. Edited by Dan Gallucci and Jane Marie. All final mixes by Mike Richter. Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise was interpreted by James Christie and Pauline Chardin. Special thanks to all of our voice actors, Fred Giel, Sandrine Ristello, Giulio Mendi, and Marley Otto. And to the many people on Reunion Island that helped make all of this possible.